Ken Miller.
Here.
Here. Matt Bauman.
Present.
Thank you. Allie Swanson.
Here.
Okay. If anyone else joins in, anyone including Ursula notices, please give me a heads up because I will mark them as they come in. But I will be conducting the meeting, so sometimes if you join, I might miss you. Okay, welcome. Looking at our agenda for this evening, we've got roll call attendance. Item number 2 is approval of meeting minutes from December 14th, 2020. This also was a virtual meeting. Do I have a motion to adopt the meeting minutes?
Oh, Ms. Elwood.
Ann Elwood just joined. Welcome, Ann.
I found you.
That's your demo.
Hold on. We got chaos going on. I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from December 14th, 2020.
Second.
Okay, Allie moves. Do we have a second?
Second.
Matt did.
Thanks, Matt. Matt, second. And then I need to take a roll call for that, for the meeting minutes. So I will read all the names, but I know some people probably haven't checked in yet. Aurora Basha, I think, still absent. Okay. Andrew Baumgartner, still absent. Okay. Tracy?
Yes.
Thank you. Kirsten? Still absent. Margaret?
Yes.
Thank you. Anne?
Hello.
Hello. We're voting on the meeting minutes. Do you say yay or nay?
Yay.
Thank you. Looks like Kirsten just joined. I'll admit her. Craig Gunty?
Yes.
Okay. Christopher Heckert?
Yes.
Thank you. Ken Miller?
Aye.
Matt Bauman?
Aye.
And Allie Swanson?
Yep.
And we're going to circle back. I saw Kirsten just came in. Kirsten, we were approving or not the meeting minutes from last meeting in December. Are you a yay or a nay? Are you on mute, Kirsten?
I was. I'm a yay.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Did you want to vote on the meeting minutes?
Yes.
Okay. I got you down as a yay. Are we thumbs up?
Good. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, so that passes. 1, 2, 3. 9 yays and 2 people still absent. So moving forward onto item agenda number 3. The reason we don't have any groups of policies or footnote changes to push through is because we are actually finishing up the policies that were in arrears from our little break with COVID last year. So the policies that we have on tonight, 7 policies that would actually catch us up. So on our next meeting, we would have a press release come out from press at the state level, and then we would be dealing with a new bunch that we're actually on time with. Does that make sense to the group?
That sounds great.
Perfect. Yay. I have Ursula sharing her screen for you all, and we had a little revision with policy 2:220. It came out in your packets originally, and then the attorney for the Board of Education, Maureen Lemon, caught up with some discussion from the board meeting, and she actually replaced the language that the board members found objectionable. And so what happened was we gave you a revised, a second run at policy 2220 that came out. And in that policy, under the agenda item, that's where... change.
So the blue is the new one, right?
Mine's red. I don't have blue. Oh, wait. It's one she sent a separate link to you for, Allie.
Oh, man. All right.
Okay, take a minute. Everybody take a minute and get set. This is a little tough to do electronically because I can't just show you the piece of paper. Okay, if you walk through the red lines,
changed any board member?
It should be any board member may request withdrawal of any item under the consent agenda. Right? And then in red were the changes that we had before. The board meeting agenda shall contain general subject matter of any item that will be the subject of final action. And redlined out in that same second paragraph, district residents may suggest inclusions for the agenda. Items not specifically on the agenda may still be discussed during the meeting. That was taken out. And that item was taken out. And the board will take final action only on items contained in the posted agenda. So the theory there was, from a legal perspective, a district resident can always request to get something on a board agenda through a board member versus having a community of tens of thousands of people who just want to individually place items on a board agenda. So that was what Maureen Lemon had talked through with me. Allie, did you have anything else in here that was sticking out to you or Matt as board members that we wanted to discuss?
No, but up in that first paragraph where it says any board member may request the withdrawal of any item, just put the addition or withdrawal of any item.
Sure. Does anyone in the want to discuss that change?
No, on page 2, however, there is a statement that the board's meeting minutes must be submitted to the board treasurer.
Yeah, I didn't know who that was.
That when the footnote of 18, that I believe is a kind of a legal requirement. So I would say that if you want to know more about that, we can ask Maureen Lemon. But at the end of the day, if it's in here from press, it's because there's a requirement for it.
So I guess the follow-up would be, yeah, if it's that we must submit it to a treasurer and it's a legal statement, and if we don't have a treasurer, then are we legal by not having a board treasurer? If we have a policy that says something has to be submitted to a treasurer.
I think if you have a board treasurer, you have to do it for that reason. I'm wondering if I may have someone in the room who can step out and call Maureen Lemon and ask her that quick question if we can get her on the phone. Yep, I see it. I've got it. If we can get that answered, I'd like to get it answered tonight.
Okay.
So we're gonna come back to that point.
That was my only other question.
Okay. We can table this one for a couple of minutes while we work on getting a legal response. And I can bring it back if we get an answer. The next policy up for review would be 7:345. I actually did a little more work on this one in the background because I was a little bit concerned about a lot of the legalese in here. So the use of educational technologies, this is specific to student data and the privacy and security pieces. We have the potential always with the student information systems we have to have a breach of student data. We would like not to have one. But at the end of the day, the district policy committee is a place where we want to make sure that as a district, we're giving you as much information as possible to interact with a policy that's kind of technical. Welcoming a couple more community members in the background, welcome. We're reviewing policy 7:345. It's under the student section of the handbook or the policy book, and it's educational technologies that relates to student data with the privacy and security pieces. So there is a Student Online Personal Protection Act. You'll hear people say SOPA, and it came into play and controls the content of this specific policy. What it does is it designates which district employees are authorized to enter into agreements with operators. An operator would be, you know, the entity like Tyler SIS for our student information systems. They're the operator, and they're selling us access to Tyler, and Tyler's a place where we keep student information, so we have to make sure that their contracts with us have the protected language to protect the district in case of a breach. So we do have a memorandum from the law firm that we work with. Maureen Lemon is the Board of Education's attorney, and she works with the Audison Law Group. And so they have written a memorandum that tells us as a district what the steps are if we have any kind of a security breach, what kind of notices we have to give, if there's any exceptions to those notices, which come under things like the Personal Protection Act and a number of other acronyms. So at the end of the day, I want you to know that there's more background to this that comes in the form of administrative procedures should a breach occur. And whether it would be the third party provider and the operator that's taking on that liability when we enter into a contract. Okay? That said, does anyone have any questions?
Val, I have a question. It may not directly pertain to what you're talking about, but when you're talking about privacy breaching, mm-hmm. What first pops into my head is when I send emails and it says to the students, I'm going to blind copy the parents, and I'm going to blind copy, it says non-custodial. Mm-hmm. That could be something like someone that the child is legally staying with. There's no chance of breach.
No, security breach.
Sending private information to, say, an institution, or there's no chance of breach in that respect.
No, and this specific policy, because it falls under Section 7 in our board policy manual, it's specific only to students, and the title is Use of Educational Technologies. So it's specific to student data that's encapsulated in educational technologies. I would say most of the time you're looking at student information systems, student assessment scores, all of those other pieces. Could it backtrack all the way out to the use of the Google platform for student emails? It could, but that's not specifically where this one is aimed. It's just,
but we don't need to worry about
Not under this policy.
Grades, things like that. Okay.
So we always worry about those. Those fall under ISRA, which is the Illinois Student Records Act, the School Student Records Act. So you do need to protect that information, and really it's the student information system that directs where you can email about students, because only their parents and guardians. You can't email their aunt who's just curious to see how their niece or nephew is doing. Like, there are protections in there for student records. Those are contained under the student records policy. This is a little bit more aimed at the technologies, okay?
Then I will make a motion to approve policy 7:345 as presented.
I second it.
And who is that?
Craig.
Thank you, Craig. Craig second. And I will take a vote. I also have the answer on 2:20. So we'll tackle that one next. Aurora, are you present? I don't think so. Andrea, I believe, is still absent. Correct me. Tracy? Tracy, are you on mute?
Yes, I couldn't get my mute off.
Thanks. So that's a yay. I'm sorry, Tracy. I didn't hear you, and I have to for the record.
Are you asking for Tracy? Tracy's a yes. If you're Mike.
Thank you, Tracy.
Cutting out here.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. Kirsten?
Yes.
Thank you. Margaret?
Yes.
Thanks. Ann?
Yes.
Thank you. Craig?
Yes.
Thank you. Chris?
Yes.
Thank you. Ken?
Aye.
Thank you. Matt?
Aye.
And Allie?
Yep.
Perfect. Okay, passes everyone with a yay. We do have the follow-up for the 2:220. Apparently, not this policy, but in some other ways, we do need to make sure that the board does, in fact, appoint a treasurer. So, yes, indeed, that language is correct for the policy, and the board will need to appoint a treasurer. That does not have to be a board member. Maureen Levin said to remind the board members on this committee that it could be an employee. So I would remind you that we'll probably have some conversation from Maureen Lemon just on how to tackle that piece. But the policy is written correctly. The language is correct in the policy.
All right. Then I'll make a motion to. Sorry, I'll make a motion to approve policy 2:220 as presented.
Matt. Okay.
And so it looks like, was that Allie, Matt? Yeah. Okay. And then we'll go Tracy?
Yes.
Thank you. Kirsten?
Yes.
Margaret?
Yes.
Thank you. Anne?
Yes.
Craig?
Yes.
Thank you. Chris?
Yes.
Ken?
Aye.
Matt Bauman?
Aye.
And Allie?
Yep.
Okay, great. Moving forward to 7360. I'm looking at my notes as we're doing this. 7360 is a policy for publication of student photographs, work products, and names. This language is, again, becoming a little more current. It has listed things like performance in school plays, participation in extracurricular activities and athletic events, and now it includes things like work products, class programs, school events, presentations. The list is much more expansive in all of the ways that we may electronically be promoting students. It does have the disclaimer that while we may videotape, audiotape, photograph, write, or publish about student activities or works for use on the district or school websites, and all the other lists of ways that we might do that, basically it tells parents these are all the things that we do that may promote your child's work or other type of performances and presentations. And at the very end, it tells you in accurate language for 2021 how to notify the district if you do not want to have any of your child's work or other performances of any kind used to promote the district or publicized. So that is, again, this is just more current language, but it's the flavor of a policy that we've had for years. And we do have parents each year that take advantage of notifying the district. They notify the communications department, and the communications department feeds those do not photograph requests to the buildings and monitors as to the degree possible that we would not then have those students' images or work anywhere that they're not supposed to be. So, are there any questions on that policy?
Val, I have two.
Sure.
I was asked to talk about having kids working with other kids if we're in hybrid, or maybe next year if we're going to continue this format, as was maybe mentioned on a Wednesday. Do the parents understand that some students might be face-to-face with other students? Do we need their permission to be able to have those kids working in study groups or work groups?
No, we wouldn't need their permission to have them working in groups. Of course, under COVID, we would need, if they were working in groups, we would need to know.
But with cameras on, we've had some parents that are flat out against having their homes like viewed by other students.
So if that parent put that concern in writing, we would get a legal review and we would provide the appropriate response given the learning environment we were in.
Okay, the other issue, and it is a real issue, I can't speak for high school, but at the junior high, it has become next to impossible to adequately instruct without the use of their cameras being on, or at the very least, their mics. It's not, I mean, I've done some research in other districts, require it. It's not being necessarily enforced equally throughout our district. There are some buildings that say yes, your cameras will be on. There's other buildings that say no, the kids have the right to privacy. And so it was brought, I was asked to bring it to the committee to say there needs to be a policy about seeing the kids. They can block out their background. Mm-hmm. But at this point, we have eighth graders, for instance, that are using apps where the app logs them into class. They're not even in class. So, you know, is there a camera provision in here?
It wouldn't fit here. Where it would fit would be under a teaching and learning policy, more in the educational world. So I think what this might be is something specific to the learning environment when we're in hybrid or remote or in person. Those policies would fall under Section 6, which would be the instructional policies. So I think it's a good question to ask, but I think it would route through Faith Dahlquist Department and possibly through the subcommittee for the Board of Education that's the teaching and learning side. Remember,
they have a subcommittee for this?
They have a subcommittee for teaching and learning, and it sounds like this may be a concern about the teaching and learning structure that's put in place by the Educational Services Department.
Okay, because we have had parents that have said that we don't have permission to view their kids on camera. And
correct. And
we weren't sure if it was policy or not.
Sure. A policy would never be uniform. There may be some students that can't be viewed for reasons that are very specific and have some legal backing. So I would tell you that the majority of the district could be under a policy where you have to have your camera and your mic on. In fact, when parents went into remote learning, they did, I believe at one point, sign something that said they understood that. Having the district have that enforced would be challenging because we're not in everyone's home to enforce it, I think. But at the end of the day, if we've legally got a way to explain to parents why we need it and that they do need to comply, that's great. I don't know what the repercussions are if someone refuses, but those are questions that, you know, certainly I think I wrote the notes down, and I would route this myself over to Faith Dahlquist, and maybe you might want to route it through your educational services side of the district to see if there's something, if it's a problem only at the junior high level, then Shannon Luters, the director of junior high, might get involved and see if we can do something to, you know, promote getting more kids to do it.
Okay, is the form that the parents signed on the school website?
I'm not sure if it was routed to them through Tyler. Again, it was Educational Services Department.
Okay.
I can do some background checking, but I'm really going to have to go through Faith team to find that answer.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no, you're going to, and I get it. There's a lot of confidentiality in electronic stuff. It's so brand new this year that we really are finding where it fits in our policy manual. And this one is specific to students whose parents would not want them ever put out online with their identity known, type of a thing. So do we have any questions about this policy?
I'm two. So where it says allowed, up at the top where Ursula's got it, where it says not allowed. Let's scroll back down. Sorry. You were right.
Where it says not allowed in capital letters.
So it says not allowed, and then it says students identified by name. So I realize that it says in big letters not allowed, but I skipped right past the not allowed and just read students identified by name. So can we maybe change the wording in the paragraph to also reflect the not allowed?
Oh, students identified by name in a photograph published under this is not allowed.
Right. So I just want to, yeah. So I realize that it says it in big bold letters, but
gotcha.
I just skipped over it. And then.
Okay. So if I can read Allie's change, so it would say not allowed. Then it would read, students identified by name in a photograph published on the district or school website is not allowed unless it is a part of a district-sponsored school accomplishment, extracurricular, or athletic team photo.
Yes, please.
Okay.
And then, here's my other question on that. So I know that we put website, but how does Twitter and Snapchat and Facebook and all the other stuff fit in here?
Okay, so I think what this is aimed at is the all the avenues the district uses to put out information or tell stories, and I don't think the district is using Snapchat, so I think that's why it's not in there. But I believe it says in district or school publications or electronic communications. So if it's not allowed, like if it's not allowed, and the parent says it's not allowed, then we wouldn't take their name and their picture and put it out on Snapchat because that would be an electronic communication.
Right. I'm just asking if you think we need to, because they do a lot of Facebooking, a lot, some of the schools more than others. Same thing with Twitter. They do a lot of.
Oh, you think that, so you think from the school level, you know what? I'm fine with that. If you think, I wouldn't want to name some and say, because we didn't name one and now there's a new one, we missed it. That's all.
Or you could put, for instance, Facebook, Twitter, etc.
Oh, okay. We could do that.
Or social media. I mean, social media is pretty broad.
There you go.
Okay, so we could say social media. And Allie, if you would like it to say, for instance, Facebook, Twitter, etc.
I think Margaret's right. Social media pretty much covers it.
Okay, so just leave that other part off?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Actually, I'm reading social media channels up. Social media channels is how it's worded. In the first paragraph, on the right-hand side of the paragraph.
Oh, I see it. Okay.
Does that cover you?
Yeah. All right.
Okay, we got it. We got it. It's there.
All right.
Thanks, everyone. Okay, any other questions?
Nobody? All right, I'll make a motion to approve 7:360 as fixed.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Can I ask? You got that? Who was that? Sorry.
Kirsten.
Kirsten. Thank you, Kirsten.
You're welcome.
Okay. And then we'll do a roll call vote on 7:360, which was a publication of student photographs, work products, and names. And I will start with Tracy.
Yes.
Thank you. Kirsten?
Yes.
Margaret?
Yes.
Anne?
Yes.
Thanks. Craig?
Yes.
Thanks. Chris? Chris, did I miss you?
Yes.
Thank you. Ken?
Aye.
Thank you. Matt?
Aye.
Thanks, and Allie.
Aye.
Okay, we got that all smooth through. And we're now moving on to policy 8:10. I did a little research on this one, and there is nothing here that needed to be changed. The board's attorney, Maureen Lemon, was quite good with this, and he did feel like there were a couple areas that we spoke about, but we realized they were covered in other policies. And so she felt comfortable that we didn't need to do anything legally. And for the community relations, the connection to the community can be discussed by the committee. Any questions?
I have one. I got one. Can we move where it says the board president is the official spokesperson for the school board? Can we move that down and make it its own thing? Maybe I put it maybe by down by number four, because number four talks more about the board, because the next sentence says the superintendent or designee. So I feel like the two should be separate.
Okay. So what you're suggesting is that we leave the superintendent or designee shall plan and implement a district public relations program that will do all of these things. Remember, right. The language says that the public relations program has to develop, gather, secure, help, earn, promote, keep, coordinate. My only concern about moving the board president as the official spokesperson down into the list is those are all verbs of things they have to do, and the board president would, it wouldn't be a do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I just, like, I feel like that, or even, I just, like, I don't feel like they belong in the same paragraph. Maybe it's not just me, because one, this to me sounds like the board president is now responsible for doing all those things as well.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So if it doesn't fit under the numbered statements, in terms of it's not formatted to sit there, I wonder. I wonder if you could just make them two separate lines, like put a paragraph space between them.
I would just school board hit enter, give it a space between the two, because that way under public relations it's two distinct statements.
I agree. I think it's a good change. Yeah.
And for the district, then it's laid out right at the beginning who speaks for whom, and then to the.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's gritty.
Yeah. So Allie, we would try to make it read as the board presents the official spokesperson for the board, which is true. And then we do like a couple of spaces, and then we say the superintendent is the district's chief spokesperson, and the superintendent or designee has to plan and implement this. So it kind of pulls the superintendent away from the board president.
Yes. Please.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay, then we're going to insert the spaces after school board, and we're going to make both superintendent statements stay together and move down and become the sort of headline for the eight things that the program has to do. Does that sound good with everyone? Are we clear?
Yeah. All right. I'll make a motion to approve 8:10. Adjusted.
Craig will second it.
Thanks, Craig. Okay, and we will take a roll call vote, starting with Tracy.
Aye.
Thank you. Kirsten?
Aye.
Margaret?
Aye.
Anne?
Aye.
Thanks, Craig.
Yes.
Thank you. Chris?
Yes.
Thanks, Ken.
Aye.
Thanks. Matt?
Aye.
And Allie?
Aye.
Okay, all good to go on that one. Thanks for the support, everyone. We're moving to 8:30. And 8:30 is visitors and conduct on school property. We have, I believe, no changes on that. So it's just for discussion. Oh, page 2, did I miss one?
Well, before we go to page 2, can we add something on page 1?
What would you like to add?
So, second paragraph down where it says all visitors to school property are required to initially report to the building principal's office or designated spot, I guess.
Okay.
High school is you don't go to the principal's office when you get there.
That's right. Or designated
whatever.
Entrance location.
Darnell's got this one.
Well, it's like a visitor check-in. Aren't there signs at all the buildings as to where the visitors are supposed to?
There are, but like with the high schools, and Margaret can speak to this better. If during the school day, they need to come to the security desk at door 1. But if it's an athletic event or an after hours, it can change up. And really, it's during school hours that we're checking for sex offenders and those kind of security gaps. We don't want to have those. And after hours, it's more of a public event. So, Margaret, would you say that a designated entrance or security location, or how would you say?
We just say just a designated area, because because you're going through one door when you're coming in, to
that's
the security
true.
Desk out of high school. That's the designated door. It's the only one that's unlocked that it has
goes to a security desk that is locked, you know?
So would you want to designate, can we say check-in area? We said check-in.
Sure.
Is that okay?
That would work.
You know, you may want to put designated entrance just because sometimes people go to different, are directed to go to certain areas by staff or whoever.
That's a good call. That's a designated entrance. And then there's protocols from there to follow.
Okay. I like it. To the principal's office or designated entrance. In a lot of the buildings, for anyone listening who's maybe not as familiar, the elementary schools, when you come into that foyer, you're basically walking into the main office, which is then where the principal's office is located, but that's not necessarily true everywhere else. So, all right, I've got it. We will add principal's office for that or designated entrance. And then we would have the procedures in place as we always do. And any other questions or discussion?
What was the, what's the exclusive bargaining representative agents?
Okay, where are you?
It's up on her screen. It's in green and red.
I need to know page number.
Oh, firstly, you just moved it. Sorry. Page 2.
That's for like union people, isn't it? Union reps. But
why is that under the child sex offender?
Hang on one second. Mine does not have that highlighted. I have the wrong copy or something. No.
Is that because of my here?
Oh, I know what this is. Okay, we spoke about this. So
when things get a little tense.
This was a complete conversation with Maureen Lemon, and here was the explanation of that. So the language shifted because, for example, in the state of Illinois, there are two bargaining groups, if you will. IEA is one and IFT is another. And so what this does is it allows for bargaining agents, let's say your our district is IEA, our OEA members are part of the IEA, and if they have exclusive bargaining agents that want to come in and meet with them to conduct association business, they can do that. But what this does is it precludes like IFT from coming in to try to talk to OEA members at their school location to try to convince them that they should leave IEA and come over to IFT. In other words, you can only have your own exclusive bargaining agents entering and coming into a school.
I can take it and move it maybe underneath enforcement so it's not
part of.
Okay, so move it away. Okay. I hear you.
It just doesn't feel like it belongs there.
Well, you know what? It's interesting to me. It was above convicted child sex offender. Do you think maybe we could move it back up?
Yes, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay, because I get what you're saying, and it took me a little bit to understand what the language was getting at. And once I get it, if we move it under enforcement, then we're into the right on top of visitors to and conduct on school property. I kind of like moving it back where it was before. Does anyone, everybody okay with that?
Yeah. Otherwise, it just needs its own bold underlined heading to distinguish different from the convicted child sex offender. That's all.
Which we will do when it's all blacked out. It will actually look just like a different heading. So it should actually be fine.
Okay.
All right. I do have one more question on it where it says procedures to deny further admission to school events or meetings. So are we talking about school day events and meetings? Because I'm looking at the superintendent or designee may refuse the person admission. So I have wrestlers. So we've had a few parents get kicked out.
Yes.
Has wrestlers. Yes, she understands. So I know that in the past it has been practiced to, hey, you need to stop and come. But then I read this policy and it says, well, you have to have a board hearing. And I will tell you there have been a couple of parents that I know who have been barred as such, who have not had board meetings.
Okay, so. I can speak to that because if we do have parents that are under some concern about why they may or may not be able to be on campus, then yes, to do it formally, it does need to go through the Board of Education. The last situation I dealt with, we looked at this language, and I did work with Maureen Lemon, and we were able to have a parent, in lieu of going through a Board of Education hearing to prevent their presence at school events, we actually had them sign off on a voluntary agreement that they would not come because they did not want to go to the Board of Education and they knew that their behavior was inappropriate. And so we went ahead and did it that way with the board attorney's blessing. Anyone else? I have not put one through the Board of Education in recent time because I haven't had one come to me that hit the level that it would go to the Board of Ed for that. So
But that's my question. So these are like athletic events. Are they getting stopped at the, like, is that the, like, I realize, again, this is more of a high school thing, but my concern would be it gets to the athletic director and the athletic director makes this decision that never, the parent doesn't get due process.
No, it would have to come through me. They can't authorize a letter in writing. I'm the only one who can do that in our district, like at this time. But can they verbally do something? Possibly. And that's a good point. And I'm happy. I do work with the athletic directors call under student services. So I will go ahead and have a chat with them and make sure that we're still on the same page. I think we are, but we will make sure we are.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Craig.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say that since you've now kind of set a precedent by having somebody sign a waiver, you may want to have that indicating, because it says the superintendent or designee must provide a person a hearing notice, et cetera.
Right.
And what you may want to do is add, you know, unless a waiver is signed through, you know, whatever your office is, with other details or unless a waiver is signed through your office.
Okay, so, and I can work with Maureen Lemon on that because, again, I did everything legally the way she directed me to. I don't know how much or if policy, like what we would put here, but I can ask her about that. So it sounds like this one might come back to us. Because I wouldn't feel comfortable just drafting language on the spot tonight, but I would feel comfortable talking with her and saying how much of that process would be delineated at a policy level from her legal recommendation. And of course, if it's a serious safety concern, there is no option. It will go to the Board of Ed, for example.
If you have the word must in there, you know, you know, so if you're going to have an alternative to the must, you need to put the word unless and show what that alternative is.
I gotcha.
Okay.
And what about maybe getting the athletic directors, if it's going to come back anyway, maybe ask the athletic directors
how and if they've been implementing. Yeah, if they've been doing something, I know
they haven't, but
under COVID.
Well, right now it's not an issue, but who knows?
Right? This is a really good one to go over, for sure. So I will work with the APs at both high schools. So that'd be Margaret Doyle, Brian Cooney, the athletic directors, and I will work with Maureen Lemon to see if we are going to go with a must, unless, and if so, what we would do with that. And that's really good feedback. Thanks, you guys. So we're going to hold this one at my level for a minute, and it'll be on our next one with some updates, okay?
Okay.
Great.
Val, does that cover behavior at things like parent conferences, behavior electronically, or just physical presence?
It can if it hits a bar that, how can I explain this? Sometimes the bar that we're talking about would be if a parent were doing something either at any school, you know, a problem or caused a safety concern, or that we might call the police for some backup, then that would be something that would be kind of at that level.
Okay.
It's not used lightly. It's pretty serious. So. Okay. Are we ready to move to the 8:80?
Sure.
Great. Then we are going to go to 8:80. And 8:80 is gifts, grants, and bequests to the district. Any questions or concerns?
On number one, where it says be accepted by the board if less than $500 in value.
Mm-hmm.
So
if someone were to give something that were less than $500, the superintendent or designee, but if it's more than $500, I believe that's where it's accepted by the board.
All right. That's just not how that read to me.
Well, it's the line above. All gifts must adhere to each of the following. Be accepted by the board, or if less than $500 in value, the superintendent or designee. If I read it that way, does that sound right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Below number six, what are the little blue dashes for?
The little blue dashes.
Like in front of the word upon. And the acceptance.
Honestly, I don't know. I'm not. Oh, you know, sometimes when we're in edit mode, there are little, it's just an editing thing. Okay. So I don't know if somebody added an extra space. Or
it looks like there's an extra space being crossed out. Like a space.
Yeah, when we go ahead and accept the changes and turn it back to regular text without all the underlining in the red and the blue and the whatever, then it all deletes and it comes out like black and white.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good question. I didn't see it. It is so tiny. Okay, any other questions?
Matt, do you remember forever ago when, so I guess my concern is the district will provide equal treatment to all individuals and entities seeking to donate money or a gift. I kind of get, but do you remember way back when they wanted to put AstroTurf in, but they wanted to do one school before the other, and then no, if you can't do both schools, you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Does this policy speak to anything about equity across the buildings? Or because honestly, both high schools could use the same field because they're never home at the same time unless they're playing each other.
Well, I think those donations will still come up to the board for discussion if I understood Maureen correctly.
Okay.
So in other words, since all donations have to be approved by the board, if they're over $500, then actually the board is the only group that can be neutral or determine equity or put that lens on a gift or a donation.
Yeah, exactly. That's for the board anyways.
Okay.
And it does speak to equal treatment for members of both sexes, educational programming. So there is that equal treatment clause. So you guys would, as a board, I believe, be working through that donation piece to make sure you felt comfortable that you were in line with the laws.
All right. I think those blue bars that Craig was talking about, like to me, those are four distinctly different statements, not one paragraph, right? Like, the district will provide equal treatment to all individuals. That's one statement. And then upon acceptance, all the gifts become ours. That's another statement.
Okay, you know, so are you thinking you would like those like bulleted or set apart, not as one paragraph?
That's what I thought it was. I thought it was that they were.
We can do it that way. Is that what you'd like to make sure the editing does?
I mean, it doesn't matter. It will read the same, but it stands out a little bit better if it's separate, but I could care less one way or the other, honestly.
Yeah. I like them separate, but I'm not, you know, married to it.
Okay, so I believe if we accept the changes now, it will leave it all together. But if you wanted it separated into three, if you wanted it in three separate statements, we can do that. Just tell us what you prefer.
Guys.
I would say separate them out as individual.
Okay.
My perspective.
Okay. I like that you said that, because when I read it the second time, thanks for pointing it out, whoever did with the blue marks, it's sort of like you have to do three different things. You have to provide equal treatment, and you have to make sure it's not an endorsement, and you have to make sure the method of recommendation is, like, it's three different steps within that process of accepting a gift. So we can make that three separate statements for you. Any other questions?
No. All right, then I make a motion to accept policy 8:80 with fixes.
Okay, 8:80. Allie, and who's our second?
Matt.
Matt, thank you. And roll call. Tracy.
Yes.
Thank you. Kirsten.
Hi.
Thanks. Margaret.
Yes.
Anne.
Yes.
Craig.
Yes.
Chris.
Yes.
Thank you. Ben?
Aye.
Thanks. Matt?
Aye.
And Allie?
Yep.
Okay. Move that one to the, go forward to the board pile. And our last one for this evening, policy 8:110. So we'll be pulling that one up. This one is about public suggestions and concerns. Not a lot of legal discussion on this one, so whatever questions you all have, you can certainly bring them up.
I got nothing.
Nope.
It'd be nice if they didn't swear at us.
What?
It'd be nice if they didn't swear at us.
That would. That's always nice.
Don't do
well,
anything.
Well, there's a lot of energy. This is important stuff we're doing.
Early meeting tonight.
Woo-hoo! Anyone? Do we have a first? Did I miss it?
Oh, sorry. I'll make a motion to accept 8:110 as presented.
Okay. And a second?
Margaret, will second. Oh, go for it, Tracy.
Ooh, Margaret, go.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to put Tracy because Margaret said, go for it, Tracy. And I like we're going to take a roll call vote. So we have Tracy.
Aye.
Thank you. Kirsten.
Aye.
Thanks, Margaret.
Aye.
Anne.
Aye.
Craig.
Aye.
Chris.
Aye.
Thanks, Ken.
Aye.
Thanks, Matt.
Aye.
And Allie.
Yes, because I feel like I'm different.
Okay.
Any public comments?
Public comments? We do have some visitors on this evening. Would anyone like to make a public comment? Feel free to unmute yourselves.
I'll make up then just to acknowledge them. We would do this in a normal board meeting, but I see that there are... running for the school board, it looks like Jennifer Johnson is in tonight. Katie Hayden, Eugene Gatewood, and Donna Marino are all in to kind of check in and see what's going on, which is very wise, smart to do. So welcome. Thanks for listening in on the meeting tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you. And I just want to thank everyone here for volunteering their time to this.
Yes, that was really great. So is Ursula, who we can't see. They're fantastic.
She's behind the scenes working very hard to make all of this look easy.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jackie.
And on a side note, we're dealing with that at the high school, too.
Okay.
Your kids without cameras on. I have that same problem with juniors and seniors in physics.
I can't teach chemistry to 32 dots. And now that we're hybrid, I have their emojis memorized. They walked into the classroom. I didn't know who the heck was coming in.
Oh, no.
Are you Bobby? Are you? Come on.
They need to wear their
All right.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I wanted to know if I could
mention
two or three quick things. Yeah, I raised my hand. I'm sorry. I didn't want to interrupt during your meeting.
You didn't ask. No, go ahead, Katie.
I'm really sorry. I wanted to mention something to Annie Elwood. About what you were talking about with some of the issues you were having with the students attending, like, the lives for e-learning. What about if you had, like, an auditorial checklist where I know you take attendance at the beginning of the live, but what if it was, like, a three checklist for beginning, middle, and end? So that way, even if they have their camera off, you still have an auditorial checklist that you could do for the students that are at risk.
Right. That's a great idea. I've been doing participation points because my goal for the eighth graders is to give them a whole lot of skills that will help support them as they bridge to high school and a little bit of science. Those are my two goals. So, but when you call and there's nobody there and, you know, It's been tough. I had one eighth grader actually say, well, my brother did the quiz for me and they're in high school chemistry and they got number three wrong and they don't understand why. And I just kind of, I held everything that I wanted to say in because I want to retire in 2 years. That auditory
next generation is tech savvy. They're almost smarter than some of the adults, you know, when it comes to technology. So there's a lot of ways to maneuver on these different platforms. So I could see where we would run into issues with the e-learning. And then one last thing. I know you wanted to end your meeting early, so I apologize for being an inconvenience. Allie brought up some things with technology. And I just kind of wanted to just point something out from our experience. We have friends who work in FEMA, so before school shut down in February, we went out to Best Buy and we bought all four of our kids Chromebooks, you know, warranties and all, because, you know, in this district, the low-income or disadvantaged students range around 21% to 22%. So we were just thinking, you know, we know that our district didn't have enough technology to support everyone's needs. So would you be suggesting that now that I have four additional Chromebooks, I will then have to buy eight for my four kids? Because I currently have four. So I'm not the only family in that situation, but it's just a thought because I already do have four that we bought specifically because of COVID-19.
Thanks, Katie. That's a great question. I'm going to go ahead and refer that to our director of technology, and I can get a little information back to you about that or connect you directly with him to figure out where we are with that as a district. It's a great question.
I'm grateful to my school board for the additional bandwidth, so thank you. Thank you for a wider band.
We like that wide band, Ann.
Old school.
All right, I'll make a motion to, what are we doing? Close the meeting, adjourn.
Do we have a second? Ann, thank you.
Paper's great.
And, really that's a roll call vote. Hang on. Okay, all in favor?
Hi.
Hi. Anybody?
Hi. Anybody want to say I'll say? Hi. You want to say I'll say?
Good night, guys.
Sorry I was late. Bye. I had 7 o'clock on my calendar. Sorry I was late.
No worries. We'll get you next time.
Yeah. Mark?
Hey, Mark? Andrew, it's so nice to see you again.
I know. I'm sorry. I have another meeting on Zoom for speech therapists, and it starts at 7, and I have a brain on 7. Once
no
a
worries.
Month.
We'll be on again for March 22nd, and we'll probably be emailing to check in and see if we're going to be virtual or remote. I think it's a little early to decide that now, but certainly with Allie and Matt, I go back and forth with them, and if I feel like our attendance would be better virtual, then...
I vote virtual. Yeah, much easier.
Hey, Valerie.
Yeah, I don't mind it anymore. I got it down now.
Valerie, could you please ask Ursula? I know she's there.
She is.
The link that we get to join the meetings maybe can be sent out with a reminder.
It
would be easier because I think some people, it's easy to forget because it gets buried.
Gotcha.
Are you okay if I send it to you with the email?
Yeah, I think that's perfect.
With the documents, with the agenda?
Yeah, just with the agenda and stuff. Okay. That way it's all together and people remember the time.
Okay. I thought we could do reminder day. Well, no, they just want it in a different form than a calendar invite.
Somehow I accepted the calendar invite, but it's not on my calendar. I don't know.
That's all right. Hey, that's you had a night off.
Yeah. No, never. No, no.
Oh, goodness.
Well, okay, I tell a woman she has a night off. Okay, goodbye.
Thanks.
Bye, guys. Thank you so much for your help.
All right, we out. Look at that. Quick meeting.
Ready to go, Allie.
Go home, people. Go home.